Talk Radio for Sports Club. Welcome to the Sports Club. I am Jeremy the Impact York, joining you once again from the Impact Media Studio, where I believe we have some Thursday Night Football pregame in the background. Tracy Wolfson doing a fantastic job. Shout out to her. In fact, there's a chance she could be our shout out tonight because we haven't picked one. So let's go ahead and make that official. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. As we're doing that, tons of fun stuff we're going to get into today. I don't know why I went into my Ed, and Eddie voice. Okay, Double D. Now he's weird. He's English. I guess it's Ed, and Eddie. Now, fun stuff we're going to get into. Some other stuff we're going to get into. Falcons fans may like me for a bit and then not like me for a bit. But, like I said, they may like me, they may not. That's fine. It's okay. As long as you listen to me, I'm fine with it. And if you do disagree, places that you can let me know you disagree. At TheImpact99 on Twitter will get you directly into my ear about what you think. Please keep it fan-friendly if you can because, yep, my nieces and nephews and other small people also read what you write. So be professional. You can also go to at Team Impact Media and tweet the show directly. That will also come to my attention right now because we are right here in the studio. And of course, you can also go to the iTunes store, give us a rating and review. You can look up Impact Media. You can look up Sports Club. You can also look up. You can look up Board Check, which will be following this show around 9 o'clock, I believe. And you can also search for our new show, The Game Plan, which features Kennesaw and Georgia State football news. That's a lot of fun. We just did that last night. Going to have some fun guests coming up this week because this Saturday I will be at the Georgia State game, which starts at 2. And I will be at the Kennesaw game, which starts at 7. First time I ever covered 2 in the same day like that. It's going to be a lot of fun. But let's get right into it. I want to start with some football news. We're going to start with the NFL. We'll kind of intermix some Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll talk about the Hawks season. I did get to see a good majority of the game. You know, I appealed to them in the last week or so that I want to be a Hawks fan again like I was in middle school. I wasn't one of those obsessive fans, but I really enjoyed being a Hawks fan then. And we'll get into what I thought of last night's game. And we'll also talk a little bit about the Falcons and kind of what they've done. But first, like I said, let's get into some of the big news. And let's start by talking about the Aaron Rodgers' injury. He was carted off the field. It turns out it was a broken right collarbone. He has broken his left collarbone about 4 years ago, I believe, like 2013. He came back after, I want to say 6 games, but it could have been 8. Either way, he came back after a couple months for that, but that was his non-throwing shoulder. The weird thing and the bad thing about collarbones is once you break them, they are very easy to break again. They never fully heal. The same way if you pull something out of socket, like your shoulder or I believe elbow, then it's hard to get it back into place. It can come out a lot easier, and you tend to have problems with it after the fact. What does this mean? Well, as one of the faces of the league, and Odell Beckham Jr. is out now, and J.J. Watt's out now. We're going to see some other people step up into those roles, but we're missing Mr. Discount Double Check. We're missing Mr. Clay Matthews flew a remote control helicopter, drone, I guess, into my truck that me and my dog rode around. Mr. Most Eligible Bachelor, more than likely, because we don't know what's happened after Olivia Munn. Mr. Damper and Proper, as he, you know, the dashing young face quarterback of the league, even though that mustache is still back, apparently. The one that goes to horse races with Tom Brady, or meets him there at least. We're missing one of the biggest cornerstones of the league. That doesn't mean the league's going to fall apart. If, you know, the protest stuff and all this other stuff, it's not going to fall apart. Numbers could be down a little bit, but, I mean, let's be honest, they were going to drop anyway. No, we're missing Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, best quarterback in the league. In most people's opinion, he's at least top two, top three. You could put Brady up there. I'm not sure who they'd put as the third. But between him and Brady, top quarterback. And that's just us in general. That's us as fans. That's us as media people. That's just, it sucks. That's the best way to put it. It sucks. It absolutely sucks. Because, you know, who do we pull for? We have our own teams. But Aaron Rodgers is really good. He's fun to watch. He's the reason the Packers have a shot in most games. You know, Matt Stafford does the same thing for the Lions. It's just he's not such a national presence as Aaron Rodgers is. But what are the Packers going to do? Well, they don't go out and sign people because they're always a draft and develop team. They very rarely will go outside. Very rarely will go outside the realm in order to try to find their people. So we get Brett Hundley, been the backup for Aaron Rodgers for the last 3 years, and Jim Callahan, who sounds like he could be a position coach. You know, if I told you Jim Callahan is either the third-string quarterback on the Packers, or Jim Callahan is the offensive coordinator for South Alabama, you'd probably believe the second one. But no, Jim Callahan, I believe his name's Jim. Mr. Callahan, whatever. He's been there for 2 years. Humley's been there for three. One of the discussions that myself and Coach Hill have all the time have to do with, I said, you hear all kinds of things about the Packers, Coach. Why does nobody talk about Brett Hundley? Is he so off the market nobody wants to trade for him? Is he not good enough to where people don't want to trade for him? Do they keep him sheltered? Is he happy where he wants to be? And, you know, he told me a few things here and there, but for the most part, yeah, it's kept hush-hush in Green Bay. I think this kid's going to be given a shot here. It's not going to be when Aaron Rodgers took over for Favre, because it's not that kind of deal. But I think Brett Hundley can give them a chance. He's got a little bit of mobility. He's got a pretty strong arm. I remember when they drafted him, I felt like that was one of the better pickups. I believe it's a third-round pick. So they've got little to nothing in him. I think his contract comes up next year. They're going to be able to rebound. To the Packers, they always seem to find a way. And if they don't find a way, then they get a really good draft pick, and they'll either get Rodgers' replacement at that point, or they'll go get some more defensive help. Or maybe, I don't know, an A-plus receiver. Because Aaron Rodgers makes every receiver up at least half a level, if not a full level. Nothing personal with Jordy Nelson, but he's a B-plus to an A-minus. So the only reason he's considered an A-plus receiver, not the only reason, but the main reason, is because Aaron Rodgers is quarterback. Randall Cobb is the third string on most other people's teams. That's why he's second on this one. Now the first one, Randall Cobb. None of these guys are bums. But you also look at Devontae Adams, who they are grooming to kind of take over one of those top spots here soon. Now, you know, he could be a big-time person too, but Devontae Adams on his absolute best day with Brett Hundley throwing to him is at A-minus, which is fine. I'll take a team of Bs and B-minuses all day long. You look at Martellus Bennett. Yeah, he's either going to catch a ton, or he's not going to catch anything at all. It's going to be one or the other. Because sometimes rookie quarterbacks, and technically he's a rookie at this point, even though he's 3 years in, he's had a couple snaps here and there. Brett Hundley is practically, this is the first time he's been given the full reins. And it actually meant something. a throwaway game in December was a throwaway game in December. So what does this mean? Yeah, it means it impacts the league. It impacts the Packers. It impacts Super Bowl picks. I don't care about mine. It's fine. I'm not worried about things like that. It impacts the fantasy world, which upsets players that we think about fantasy first. But, yeah, it's a part of a lot of people's lives now. There's money involved. There's these other things involved. So what does it mean when one of the top players in the league go out? Yeah, it means something to all of us. When J.J. Watt went out, whether he's on your fantasy team or not, he's a good dude. He's a national, you know, he sells Papa John's pizza next to Peyton. He does all kinds of other stuff. He's on all these national commercials. He's a big presence. He donated to Houston. Aaron Rodgers, big thing. He's always doing charitable things. He's the face of the league. He's the face of the Packers. He, you know, all these things. We'll have to figure out what this is going to end up meaning, but this is all these injuries are huge, and I think this is the biggest one yet. Other things I want to get to as our opening rant brought to you by J-Rod's Diesel. If you've got a diesel truck, trust me, there's nothing J-Rod can't do. You need to check him out. For information, just check us out at our website or any of our, you know, you can inquire. But brought to you by J-Rod Diesel. Repair. That dude's really good. Some San Francisco things. I wanted to talk to Cody about them, but Cody is actually at the Raiders game currently and working that game. So I would rather him work that than to call in here. So that's exactly what he's doing at this point. Let's start with Navarro Bowman. Now, Navarro Bowman, by far the best team on the San Francisco 49ers, or was. Well, for years, he's either been injured or at a point where they were like, well, would you like to be traded to a contender? Why don't we try to rebuild or figure out what's going on? No, I want to stay here. No, I want to stay here. Well, they finally gave him his release. And he was supposed to visit. See if I can get these right. He was supposed to visit the Saints, and before the Saints, Dallas. Before Dallas, Oakland. Well, he went to Oakland, and they didn't let him out the door. He signed a one-year deal for $3 million. Can he still play? Absolutely. Used to be by far an A to an A-plus player. Is he still an A-plus? I would say he's right there at the A-minus level. He hasn't really lost a step. Tonight's with the Raiders. Not only did he sign with them like 3 days ago, he's going to play in tonight's game. I look forward to Cody's report of how everything goes with that, and I'm also going to watch the game. You guys are going to watch the game. But congratulations to him. Would have been nice if he would have came to Dallas with him being my team. Would have been nice for him to go to the Saints as well, because good chance I would have got to see him when they play Atlanta. But it's about time that some of these teams realize where they're at. And if you can't trade a certain player, the best thing you can do for some of these veterans is to try to just, you know, if they want to be released, release them. Let them go pick the team they want to play with. Not saying he couldn't come back if you start doing it, but, you know, the business decision, this guy gave up so much. To stay there and to help everything out. This is a great decision. John Lynch made a good decision. Navarro Bowman made a great decision. Kyle Shanahan made a great decision. And obviously, Jack Del Rio and the GM out in Oakland made a great decision as well. I hope he does really well tonight, because the Raiders need all kinds of help on defense, and having that linebacker presence would definitely do that. The other thing I want to talk about with the 49ers real quick, they benched Brian Hoyer probably 3 games later than they should have, honestly. Hoyer wasn't doing bad, but he wasn't doing good. But I disagree that it's time to put in a rookie this early, but at this point, you got to see what you got. Because you're probably going to get a top-5 pick next year anyway. They're probably one of the best 0-6 teams I've ever seen. It's kind of like when people said the Jets are tanking. The way the Jets are playing, they're like 3-3 or something like that. They have got, if they're tanking, then they are even messing that up. I don't think they're tanking. Is San Francisco tanking? No, I just don't think they're that good. They have one of the most pedestrian groups of players I've seen. And they're trying, but they're in a bad division. I mean, they're in a good division, a really good division. They have to play people like Seattle twice. They have to play Arizona, who suddenly started to put it together, twice. They have to play the Rams twice. The Rams, arguably probably second or third best team, numbers-wise, stats-wise, in the NFC. So, you know, they benched Brian Hoyer. So, hey, C.J. Beathard, you came in halfway through the last game. We want you to start now. He's like the third or fourth round pick from last year. See if we can figure out what school he went to. Iowa. Oh, he went to Iowa. They won a lot of games at Iowa. Colin Cowherd doesn't like Iowa because he thinks they don't play anybody, but Iowa will give you a little bit of credit. C.J. Beathard came in, and he looked pretty good. Plus, Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback guy, so he knows how to coach up quarterbacks, just like the Shanahans. Or not the Shanahan. He is a Shanahan. Just like the Grudens. Just like the Harbaughs. The same way that Aaron Rodgers makes his receivers a half step to a step better. Those kinds of coaches, the Shanahans, especially Kyle Shanahan, but the Shanahans, the Grudens, the Harbaughs, they make everybody play a little bit better at the quarterback position. So C.J. Beathard, if he was a C+, is going to be a B to a B+. What is he? I don't know. I've only seen him play a handful of snaps. We'll have to see what he's going to do. But if they see what they find, you know, you find out what you have with C.J. Beathard. If it turns out that he's a guy you can build on, hey, now with that top five pick, you can either trade it for some other picks and players, or you don't take a quarterback. You go get a pass rusher. You go get give him a running back. Give him a top receiver, to maybe a tight end, maybe an offensive lineman. You help your team. So, the bet, you know, as much as I don't believe in putting a rookie quarterback in this early in the season, they got to figure out what they got. And this could actually, either way, they're either going to find out they still need a quarterback, or they're going to find out, hey, that pick's going to be valuable. Now, let's get into the Zeke update. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. And I absolutely mean it the way it came out. The Zeke update is basically this. Because Zeke's side, it's not necessarily Dallas' side. Dallas backs Zeke, but it's not it's Zeke's people, his team of attorneys that are pushing this. Because of when they filed their appeal and injunction and restraining order type deal, they technically did not allow the NFL to review the punishment, suspension, the entire thing. You know, because typically you're giving out your suspension. You can appeal, but before you do, it goes before their review board, basically. And then the official ruling is there, and then you can appeal from there, and it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And usually takes up a lot of time and bores us to tears because, you know, if I got suspended from work, I can't appeal. They'd just fire me. So sports is ridiculous as far as that goes. But apparently, since they did it so early before the final verdict was reached as far as the NFL side, as to what exactly was going on, the state appeals court threw it out. Said, your injunction's null and void. It's invalid because it has to be past a certain stage before we can do that. That makes sense. So now, technically, his six-game suspension is back on the books. What does that mean? Well, he's playing this week because the verdict came out so fast that they can't uphold it. It would be unfair to the Cowboys and Zeke, especially the Cowboys. It would be unfair to any team. If you found out on Wednesday or even Tuesday afternoon that one of your top players is not playing this weekend because of the suspension, yeah, it's kind of hard to sign somebody and have them up to speed. So at the current moment, the six-game suspension is still in the books. He is going to play this weekend. And apparently he's going to refile or appeal at this point, and we can start this whole process all over. You guys thought Deflategate was ridiculous. How about this whole thing? If they find evidence that he actually did something, then in my opinion, Zeke, go ahead and serve your suspension. Get this over with. If this drags out over a year, then people are going to start turning on you. They're going to turn on Jerry. They're going to turn on the Cowboys. They're not turning on the NFL for these rulings. Not at all. Why would they turn on the NFL? All they're doing is upholding the laws and the rules that you, the players, agreed on you put your representative up there and agree, and they agreed on it, signed it, saying it's okay. If action A happens, then action B is the reaction. If evidence is found against you that is related to domestic violence, it is automatic 6 games the first time. Then it's like 10, I think, and then you're out. Out of the league, not just, you know, it's not like baseball, 1, 2, 3, you're out. No, it's you're out of the league. So, like I said, as far as all this is going, Zeke, if it were up to me, I'd say go ahead and serve your 6 games. I don't think the Cowboys are going to – they're going to barely be a wild card, if anything, anyway. They're going to turn it around. We're going to put some wins on the board. The way the Eagles are going, and just think about this. They've already – the Cowboys already have losses to the Packers. They already have a loss to the Rams. Those are two teams that will be right in the wild card race as well, especially if the Packers hang on. So, you're already – you've given 2 games in hand to other people that you'll be going for the same spots in the playoffs for. And not to mention, you're probably the third best team in your division. I'm not sure what the Giants are doing. That whole thing was an anomaly. But you got the Eagles, who are probably the best team in the NFC. And I'm not even going to start with Carson Wentz. That defense is a lot of fun. There's a lot of chaos and havoc going on that defensive side of the ball. Not to mention the offense being ran by a great quarterback. Stop me when you've heard this. A great quarterback with a great line, with great running game, and great weapons to throw to is putting up a lot of points and winning a lot of games. Yeah, it's not rocket science. It's called NFL football. The schemes may be crazy and chaotic, but it's not hard to figure out. If you do those things, you're usually pretty successful. So you got the Eagles, who are probably going to run away with the division. And by run away, 2 to 3 games. You got the Redskins. Yeah, I remember a couple years ago when Daniel Snyder was being yelled at and ridiculed for keeping the name Redskins. Now we can say it all we want. Nobody seems to get offended. Even the people in the D.C. area do not get offended if you say, hey, are you a fan of the Redskins? Even the native tribes there go, yeah, actually we are. Most of them are. They go to games. They buy jerseys. But the Redskins, number 2 team. Kirk Cousins playing out of his mind. If not for Alex Smith, you have to think Kirk Cousins is probably one of the best MVP candidates in the league. Then we get to the Cowboys. And Dak's playing good. Zeke, his mind seems to be elsewhere, probably on this stuff. The offensive line's pretty good. They're not the best in football anymore. They're still top 4, top 5. But as far as who has the best offensive lines right now, who has the best run games? Exactly. People like the Eagles. People like Atlanta's actually got one of the better ones. And apparently Arizona's put theirs together. That's a whole different thing. But to sum it up now, Zeke's 6 games are still on the books. As of right now, he would start serving next week. There will probably be an injunction or something filed between now and then. And as soon as and when it is, we'll talk about it next week. But for now, we're going to move on.
These guys are Warriors.
Yes, they are. Speaking of Warriors, how about Adrian Peterson? He goes from getting traded from the Saints, where he was number 3 on the depth chart, because, what's his name, Kamara, they drafted. That kid is something special. You pair him with Marky Mark in the backfield, Mark Ingram, and that is a killer 1-2 punch. So like Alvin Kamara or something like that. Since he's so good, that moved AP to number 3. That frustrated AP. I'm sure he didn't demand a trade, but he probably said, you know what, if you wanted to get me out of town, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Well, lo and behold, in steps Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians looks. He sees a big-time run AP had a couple of weeks ago, and he goes to his GM and says, we need Adrian Peterson. To which his GM probably says, are you serious? Because, I mean, you know, a lot of people may joke one way or the other, like, oh, what if we had this guy? Ah, we should try to get this guy. Yeah, they probably, you know, could be inside stuff between them. Either way, GM, you know, you serious? And, yeah, we need Adrian Peterson. He's the guy in the league that's available that runs more like David Johnson, who is out for possibly most of the year. I think he can come back in, like, late November. But he says, we need him. Okay, they go ahead and trade. They give up like a conditional 6th-round pick for a running back who is making $7 million for the next 2 years. That means they would probably pick up – I'd be willing to bet they're on the hook for about 4.5 to 5 of that from here on out if they keep him. And the way he's going, yeah, I would run him as a tandem when David Johnson came back between the two of them. But he goes all the way out there. Stub, I called him. I didn't say washed up. I said I think he's lost enough of a step to where I think he's pretty much done. Didn't think he had much left. Well, he goes out there with a suspect line that got David Johnson dang near killed. And what does he do? Well, he proceeds to run up and down the field like there's nobody else there. This was actually his 50th game where he gained over 100-plus yards on the ground. He's only the 9th person to do that. I think he had like 160 yards and a touchdown. This looked like the old Adrian Peterson. And this is the Tiger Woods debate all over again to me. Love watching Tiger Woods play golf. He knows what he does as long as he's not really hurting anybody. And he was able to work past his demons as far as that. But what he does off a golf course, none of my business. Unless he's really doing something bad. Then, you know, we should know. Oh, that was? Oh, okay. We had to make sure that wasn't Tiger Woods calling in. Tiger, if you do want to call in, 347-826-7448. We will always take your call. But now, Adrian Peterson, same way. Well, he's lost a step. Well, this, well, this, well, this. And all he proceeds to do is run like he used to. And I'm happy for it. I'm a fan of his on the field. What he does off the field, absolutely against what he did to his young son. I definitely have a big problem with that, but for what it's worth, he served his time. Michael Vick thing, served his time. He has to deal with it from here on out. And, you know, Michael Vick got back in the league. Tiger Woods got back in golf a little bit. And now Adrian Peterson's back running great again. What does this do for Arizona? Probably puts him in a wild card hunt, maybe. It takes the pressure off Carson Palmer, who suddenly when he's got that running game back going, Carson Palmer looks pretty good back there. He's got Larry Fitzgerald, who will catch everything under the sun. I was asked earlier today my impressions of Larry Fitzgerald. I believe I said, does everything great as that a wide receiver should, and then some. And he may actually be a better Hines Ward than Hines Ward. On third down, where's the ball going? On a big situation, where's the ball going? Who's going to catch it? Who's not going to miss it? Who is by far one of the nicest people on the planet? You could say that about Hines Ward, and you could say that about Larry Fitzgerald. Both those guys are fantastic. And as long as they have those guys, Arizona's got a chance. Their defense can make plays. So congratulations, AP, on your big day. Once again, if you wanted to call in as well, 347-826-7448, I will take your call as well. And we can agree to disagree about how you discipline your kid, or we can talk football. On here, we like to talk about football. We will get into some of those issues sometimes, though. Now, some other things we're going to get into as we're probably about the halfway point of tonight's show. I'm not going to keep you guys too late. I'm going to go over some of the stuff, but not going to keep you guys too late because we're going to watch this fun game. And remember, following tonight's show, right about the 9 o'clock hour, I believe, is what, yeah, I'm being told 9 o'clock hour. Board check, our show all about the Atlanta Gladiators, the ECHL, and, of course, the NHL will talk some big-time stuff there right here on Blog Talk Radio. Get into some Kaepernick news, and then we'll get into some Falcons and a couple other sports things. Kaepernick, who supposedly is going to do an interview where he's going to tell people, hey, I want to play football. Okay, great. So it's the first time we're hearing in almost a year and a half, 2 years, that you want to play football. I don't have a problem with that. I hear you're still working out. I hear you're still doing stuff. I don't have a problem with that. And then, what's the best way to try to get hired by one of 32 business owners in the nation? Well, one way to not get hired by those 32 is to file a grievance against the league saying that the 32 owners in the league, including, I believe, Roger Goodell, colluded to make sure you couldn't get hired in the league. Now, what colluded or collusion means, boys and girls, so you don't have to Google it. I'm going to save your data. What collusion is basically saying that everybody got together and said, hey, by the way, we're not signing Colin Kaepernick and neither are you. And everybody goes, oh, okay, sounds great. Like a big clubhouse meeting, like a no girls allowed. We all get up in Kraft or the Jerry Jones treehouse, or maybe Roger Goodell has one up at the league office. We all get in there and no girls allowed. No, not at all. Right. Yeah, because that happened. Yeah, they would really get together and blackball Kaepernick of all people. Right. Okay. If I was trying to get hired at Google, I probably won't go on a Google search and put in anti-Google things. I won't say that Bing is a better search engine than Google. You try to get hired at Microsoft, you don't say how great the Apple computer is. You know, this I don't understand where he's coming from. And once again, Colin, if you want to call in, I'll give you as much time as you want. You want 2 hours to tell your side, to talk about anything? Paw Patrol? Crunch? You want to talk about wristbands? You want to talk about you filing a grievance against the league? That's fine. You're welcome to come on, and I'll give you the floor. I'm not here to try to take you on or take you down. We're not here to do that. We're here to discuss these, make sure that people understand exactly what's going on, and to, you know, give our side. My side on this is pretty much his way of saying he doesn't want to play football, because if he did, he wouldn't have filed a grievance against the 32 guys and the 33rd guy on the outside that could influence a little bit. He just told 33 people that could help get him a job in the NFL, no thanks. And that you guys are wrong, and you guys all got together and said, no, he can't be in the boys' club. Well, I mean, how old are you, Colin? And not really. I mean, because you're acting like you're 14. You've been hanging out with Cam Newton lately or something? I mean, at least Cam's in the league, and at least Cam's balling out when he gets on the field. Colin, I don't get it. I don't get where you're trying to go with this. Because you're not going to win this, because probably a third of the league's owners are attorneys or related to them, and the other two-thirds have the best attorneys that you could find on the planet. So good luck with this. Not to mention, I'm sure Goodell, the former attorney, understands everything here. But, you know, for the sake of everything, let's talk some Falcons. And when we talk Falcons, stop me when you've heard this before. The Atlanta Falcons don't play four full quarters of football. They have a 17-point lead over a team in the AFC East. And by the end of the day, they don't win the game. Does this sound familiar? It should, because it's the third time it's happened since February. Third. This looks really good for when they play the Jets. At this point, the Jets are like, that's fine. We're going to end up beating the Falcons too. We're the only team in the NFC East that hasn't won against them in the last, February. So February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. We're in October. So 9 months. In the last 9 months, not even a calendar year, in the last 9 months, the AFC East is 3-0 against the Falcons because they don't play four quarters. Matt Ryan has the same concrete shoes that Eli Manning does. They don't throw it to Julio Jones. I don't know, Mr. Top 3 receiver in the league. I don't know why he doesn't have double-digit targets all the time. And a lot of people, well, they spread the ball out more. Ask Antonio Brown the last time he had under double-digit targets. Under. It's got to be some random game last year that didn't matter. Maybe he went out with an injury or something. Why don't you ask Odell Beckham Jr., since he's got a little more free time now. Ask the last time he wasn't targeted multiple times in the double digits. It makes no sense. It's like if Jimmy Johnson in NASCAR has the fastest car on the track and he puts it in the trailer and gets out one that looks like it recently went through a hurricane. Why in the world would you do that? I don't get it. I don't get, you know, you're doing well pounding the rock and then you start giving up on that, or stop me when you've heard that before. You stop towards the end of the game, start throwing the ball a lot more. Right. Yeah, here's the thing, Matt Ryan fans. Last year was an anomaly. He played over and above. He exceeded expectations, to use the business term. He absolutely exceeded expectations. Did it have some to do with the scheme? Yes. Did it have some to do with Kyle Shanahan being the play caller? Yes. Was it all that? No. Some of it was Matt Ryan. It was a big package deal. Sarkisian is a good coordinator. Part of the problem here with the scheme, maybe. Some of the problem with him making the calls. Yeah, I think some of the problem is that half the time he's in the booth, half the time he's on the field. Which one is it? He says, being able to do both, go back and forth, has allowed him to better get a grasp of this offense. Well, maybe we should start putting Matt Ryan in the booth and then put him on the sideline and then put him in the booth again and then put him on the sideline again. Maybe he'll get a grasp of this offense because so far you can't blame the offensive line. You can't blame Freeman, Ward, Coleman, anybody else they put in the backfield. Can't blame Julio Jones. He can't throw the ball himself. Can't blame Sanu. Can't blame Hardy. Can't blame Levine Toilolo. It's not his fault. To me, this falls on Matt. It falls on Matt about 60%, the other 40% between the scheme and the coordinator, and they're not gelling yet. I mean, literally, they technically should have lost the last three games they've played. That Lions game 3 weeks ago, yeah, they should have lost that. Not because of the controversial play at the end. The Lions were the better team that day. They just didn't outscore them. That call was absolutely dead on. They lost against Buffalo because they couldn't get it done. They lost against Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins have a pretty good defense. I'll give them that. Past that, Jay Cutler looks like somebody who could care less if he plays. And you put a smile on his face and had him jumping around the sideline. You made him remember that he could actually be a good quarterback if he wanted to be. But unbelievable. You beat the Lions by 4. You lose by 6 to Buffalo. You lose by 3. The Dolphins. Do we see a trend here? You beat Green Bay by 11. Good win. Real good win. And you beat the Bears by 6. So, of those 5 games, 3-2, and you could easily be 1-4. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is. They should play so much better than they do. Here's some stats for you so far this year. Matt Ryan. So on 112 completions out of 170 attempts. That's not bad. That's right at 65%. I'm okay with that. For 1,357 yards. No problem there. 6 touchdowns. Huh. You do have a really good run game, so the 6 touchdowns, okay. It's a little bit on the low side, but okay. 6 interceptions. So your touchdown to interception ratio is 1-1. Yeah, we're starting to get into the insert Browns quarterback number at this point. He's got to do better than that. He's been sacked 10 times. Probably 6 of those were his fault. But you can't say anything about the rest of these guys. They're doing everything they can. I think it absolutely falls on Matt Ryan. And if they're going to play better, it's got to be on him. It's got to be on him. Because guess what happens? They play against a team from the AFC East. What team from the AFC East, you ask? Well, I'm glad you inquired. They play in the Super Bowl rematch on Sunday Night Football on NBC, 8:30 kickoff at Gillette Stadium, the home of the defending Super Bowl champions, New England Patriots. Now, the Patriots had a slow start this year. They were up and down for a minute, but they're starting to put everything together. The one place you can beat them, in my opinion, is you can beat them in 2 places. They have a pretty decent run defense, but if you start the run game, you'll set up the their secondary is where you can beat them. Well, in order to do that, that falls on Matty Ice. He's kind of Matty lukewarm at the moment. Matty Ice, you've got to heat up. That sounds weird saying ice heat up, because that makes you water, but this isn't science, it's football. If you want to beat the Patriots, I just told you how to beat them. You use the run game. I don't care if you're getting 2 yards to carry to start with. As soon as those safeties start to step up, you throw it past them all day long. You have the receiving corps to do that. And as soon as they start stepping back, then you throw into the flats to Coleman and Freeman and Terran Ward and practically anybody else in the backfield. Practically anybody else. But that's how the Falcons are going to do it. You know, then they get – here's the next few games for them. Can they beat the Patriots? Yeah, I think they can. And this is not a revenge game. It's so dumb when people say stuff like, oh, this is a revenge game, or, oh, it's a Super Bowl hangover. No, those are made up by people who are looking for excuses. We don't need excuses. This is a game. It's another game. Last year doesn't matter anymore because we're playing this year. But they get the Patriots on Sunday night. Next week, they have the Jets at MetLife. That'd be a pretty good game. Jets have heated up a little bit. I still think that's a winnable game. They get the Panthers in Carolina. It's gonna be a tough game. Division games always are. Cam's starting to heat up. They get Dallas here at home. So in the next four games, could they win those four games? Sure. What do I think will happen if they keep playing like they're playing right now? They're gonna be 1-3, and the win's gonna probably be maybe the Panthers, just because it'll be a back and forth. But like I said, it all comes down to Matt Ryan at this point. I give him 60% of the responsibility, 20% to the scheme and to Sarkisian, because this isn't his full scheme. This is Kyle Shanahan's scheme through his eyes. Only so much you can do with that. So, you know, that's everything we've gotten into as far as the NFL. I want to jump into the baseball playoffs a little bit because they've been fun. The Yankees, who are not only a year ahead of schedule as far as the development of their young guys, now have a face of their team. The face of their team is Aaron Judge. Not because he hits home runs and not because he just plays the field. He's the whole package. People love him. He's one of the nicest guys. And on top of that, when you get down to four, I mean, in all likelihood, nothing personal, but in all likelihood, the Yankees shouldn't be in the playoffs, but they are. They won the play-in game. Then they won the first series. Now they get the Astros, and they seem to be giving them fits. Dallas Keuchel, who I believe Rich Eisen suggested should rename himself Steinbrenner because he owns the Yankees so much. Dallas Keuchel got knocked around like a pinball in a video game. It's ridiculous. Like Sonic the Hedgehog for all you video game guys out there. So as far as that series goes, game six will be coming up tomorrow night. The Astros, who won 10 more games than the Yankees, with the FS1, I think. Houston is still a favorite in it. But game six and seven will be in Houston, if there is a seven. If the Yankees go in there and win, then the Yankees go to the World Series. Can the Astros still battle back? Yeah, they still have Altuve. And Dallas Keuchel is still a good pitcher. They still have a good team, a really good team. But right now, the Yankees have all the momentum. They're outscoring them, I don't know, it's like 15-4 or something like that in the last three games. If the Astros can't reach out and get the momentum early, that series is over. And I, for one, as a Yankees fan, would be very happy about that. Not only would we be ahead of schedule, we'd be in the World Series, and we'd be a good matchup, a winnable matchup against either of the National League guys. Now, in the National League, the Dodgers went up 3-3 on the Cubs. The Cubs were able to battle back and won just last night, I believe. I was able to catch the last part of that game. Dodgers won 12 more games than the Cubs, which is the playoffs, so that really doesn't matter. The Cubs are playing at home tonight. That's an 8:08 start there. We'll probably have that on here as well. I'll be honest. I would like the Cubs to make this a little bit better of a series, but pound for pound, the Dodgers are just a matchup nightmare for the Cubs, and that's why they can't get anything on them. and the Dodgers are playing with a lot of momentum as well. I think this series ends tonight, and I think the Yankees-Astros series ends tomorrow, which is going to set up Dodgers-Yankees. Talk about not only national appeal because of the teams, but you get the East Coast and the West Coast, most popular teams on either side. You get one of the most storied matchups over time because these are two of the older teams. It'd be fantastic. Now, if the Cubs or the Astros made it as well, hey, everybody's got their own storylines. But I think after tomorrow night, we're going to know it's going to be Yankees-Dodgers, and it's going to be a fantastic series. Also last night, I was able to catch a good majority of the Hawks season. You know, in the last couple of weeks, I made the appeal of the Hawks. They wanted to be the fan. I'd like to be a fan again, so the ball's in their court, and that doesn't mean they need to win all the games. That doesn't mean they have to have five superstars or build a super team. Those things would be nice, but no, show me a reason. Show me that you're not playing for a lottery ball. Show me that there's promise. There's something we can build on. Well, I don't know if you guys saw the game last night, but the Hawks beat the Mavericks. The Mavericks are a very good three-point team, but the Hawks were able to – they have just this incredible energy, especially towards the end of the game. I mean, they beat the Mavericks 117-111. It could have been closer than that, but the Mavericks just – it couldn't hit a shot towards the end, and the Hawks were better rebounders. So here's some pluses. This Hawks team is young. They are full of energy throughout the whole game, including Marco, I want to say your name right. Where is it? There it is. Marco Bellinelli. One of the guys I said I could get behind. Because you have Dennis Schroeder, who's the star of the team. He had 28 points. I don't have a problem with that. The rest of the starters had between 6 and 10. I don't have a problem with that either. Collins actually was able to add 14, but Marco Bellinelli, who was all over the place and in a good way, just, you know, what Wayne Rooney is to soccer is what Bellinelli was to the Hawks last night. He had 20 off the bench, and that to me was, you know, we have – like I said, we were a good rebounding team. How many did we end up total? We had 50 rebounds total. That's a lot to – 41 of theirs. But so we're a good rebounding team. We're young. We have a lot of energy. We have a bench that it's got some depth to it, and it's guys that were putting up points. I don't think there was nobody on our bench that didn't have at least 3 points. And Bellinelli had 20, Collins had 14, Muscala, Bembry, Babbitt, Maggette, and Delaney all had between 3 and 7. They're showing a lot of good signs here. I want to see what they do in a couple other games, but you guys are on par. I like it. It made me want to tune in and watch the next game. And that's hard to do because I haven't been the world's biggest basketball fan in previous years. I catch games here and there, but mostly because of a lot of media obligations and such. I'm usually covering hockey or football or even wrestling sometimes. But this makes me want to watch the next game. I know what you guys are going to say. Well, you probably don't know when the next game is. Well, actually, I do. Not only is it all written on the calendar right beside my head, but I'm actually looking at their schedule. The next game they have, tomorrow night, they're in Charlotte to face one of those garbage teams, quote-unquote, that Michael Jordan was talking about. Yeah, the one you own, idiot. They'll be in Charlotte to face the Hornets. Who lost their opener? That's a 7 o'clock tip-off, and Charlotte, I believe, is actually a 6-point favorite. I don't think so. If the same Hawks team that beat the Mavericks last night shows up and scores at least 100 points against the Hornets, I think that'll happen. Now, is it going to be Bellinelli every night? No, it's not. Is it going to be Schroeder every night? No, it needs to be other people. Ilyasova, I think, once he gets started, is going to be pretty good. Prince, the same way. Taurean Prince, you know. Kent Bazemore, starter. Was it Dedmon? Yeah, Dedmon was the starter and center. Dwayne Dedmon. You know, they're solid players. Schroeder should be one of the top guys, but it's not going to be him every night, I think. I think at some point we're going to get to see these other guys do some other things, and it's going to be one of those guys off the bench. As long as we're getting solid effort from the bench and they're able to allow these starters to get some rest when they need it, hey, this is a dangerous Hawks team. And the way the East is, you pretty much can win about 30 to 35 games and probably be the 7 or 6 seed. Maybe we make it into the playoffs a little bit, surprise some people, and really start building this thing. We don't need a lottery pick, in my opinion. If we're going for a lottery pick, that's one thing. But and that's another way for me to not join in here. If I figure out you guys are tanking, that's a whole different thing. But I don't think they are. I think they're doing a fantastic job here. I know Cody said he was able to watch some of the game because Travis Flink came from over that way in the Bay Area, and he's a fantastic guy, and he's doing a good job with this team. So, you know, shout out to the Hawks. You guys were definitely a great watch last night. And, you know, former Mavericks fan. I used to follow the Mavericks. So I know a lot about that team over there. And I'm going to go ahead and make the Atlanta Hawks at ATL Hawks. It's the second social media shout out for the night. It's the Atlanta Hawks. Thanks for being an incredible watch last night. And look forward to the next one. I'm gonna watch as many of these games as I can. I definitely like what you guys are doing, and I'm going to try to make it some games. I know a lot of people that have season tickets and that buy a lot of tickets to go to your games. But as far as everything went last night, I thought it was fantastic. Appreciate you guys doing what you did. And finally, since I have the time, I want to talk a little bit okay, here we go. Ultima Lucha Trace from Lucha Underground has happened over the last month. And last night was the 2-hour finale. This is the best wrestling on television by far. I'm going to just kind of quickly go over some stuff, a couple of the matches, not all the way through. I'm not going to get into deep analysis. But if you get a chance, go back and watch this because this has just been incredible. And, you know, we had Marty the Moth Martinez on, otherwise known as Martin Kazaus, just a couple weeks during the summer. Fantastic dude. But I'm going to just go through it. So it's by far the best wrestling on television. It's better than the WWE. It's slightly better than New Japan, and better than Ring of Honor, and better than Impact Wrestling / Global Force Wrestling, or whatever they're calling themselves. It's actually getting better. Whole different thing. But from the first week, you had a contract match between Tejano and Famous V. Famous V was allowed to grab a partner, which he got Dr. Wagner Jr., a famous luchador, who ended up helping him win. So now Tejano works for him. Tejano is also in Global Force Wrestling right now, doing a fantastic job over there as well. That was a pretty good match. Famous B is not much of a wrestler. He's usually a manager, so that was a pretty good match. There was a match called Hell of War, which is the 3 stages of hell match. Basically means there were 3 different stipulations, and whoever got the first 2 pinfalls won. Dante Fox and Killshot. Killshot was able to – these are old Army buddies, I think Army Ranger buddies, actually. Fantastic wrestlers. They absolutely destroyed each other. Killshot got the victory on it, but more importantly – Killshot and Dante Fox proved that they could go with about anybody, and you're going to have to dang near kill them to get rid of them. That moved us to week 2's matches because they're only on for an hour on the El Rey Network. So in week 2, which was just a couple weeks ago, Katrina and Ivelisse had a fantastic match. Ivelisse got the victory, and then suffered an ankle injury when another wrestler who will be mentioned later, Jeremiah Crane, came out and hurt her ankle. Then there was the Hair versus Mask match, which was Phoenix versus Marty the Moth Martinez. There was so much implied with this as far as Marty's sister on the show, Mariposa, as far as Phoenix's girlfriend on the show, Melissa Santos, who is also the ring announcer. And ultimately, Phoenix got the victory, and this shows the evolution of not only Phoenix's wrestling, but the stuff that Marty the Moth is doing. Unbelievable. Shout out to Marty for that. Let's see, what else? On the third week, it was a last Luchadora standing match between Taya, who is also in Global Force right now, and Sexy Star, who is kind of in the middle of controversy involving a Global Force wrestler. It's a whole different story. I think I talked about it before. But Sexy Star won that match. That was a fantastic match. And it's another thing to see the evolution of not only women's wrestling, but Taya has just improved her game so much that she's one of the stars in Global Force right now. Then we got one of the best main events, arguably of the night, or of the three shows so far, the Gift of the Gods title ladder match between Pentagon and Son of Havoc. Son of Havoc missed his chance here, and Pentagon won. Now, here's the thing. For all of you WWE fans, Gift of the Gods title is you have to earn a medallion, and then all seven people who earn a medallion go into a seven-way match. The person who wins that match gets the title. And then from there, you can use that title and cash in for a title shot. So keep that in mind, because I called it before it happened, and you guys will be able to. But Pentagon won that match. Pentagon Dark is another guy that, as he evolved over the course of the last few seasons with Lucha Underground, that guy can go. He might be one of the best talents in the world. There's only a couple people even on this show that are better than him, in my opinion. Then we open up last night's big two-hour spectacular with a gauntlet match. It wasn't announced that way to start with, but it was Cage versus Mil Muertes, who I'm a big fan of as well, and Jeremiah Crane. Now, a lot of people would think Jeremiah Crane has no business in this match. I would implore you to watch this match. He absolutely did. I'm not even going to tell you about the spot that I had that it got me kind of feeling a little eerie, the spot of the match between Jeremiah Crane and Cage, but everybody's fine now. We'll put it that way. But this was supposed to be just a triple threat. Dario Cuarto comes out and says, hey, let's make this an elimination match, otherwise known as a gauntlet match. Ultimately, Mil Muertes, with the help who won that? I think Jeremiah Crane was the first out. Mil Muertes beat Cage with the help of some Jeremiah Crane and some others on the outside. So Muertes wins that match. That dude is a beast. But Cage and Jeremiah Crane are not slouches at all either. It really is the best wrestling on television. And then, of course, it was the steel cage match between El Dragon Azteca Jr. and the monster Matanza Cueto, who is Dario Cueto, the GM and guy who runs Lucha, his monster brother. Dragon's good, but Matanza is so, so good. For a big guy, you wouldn't know it. He can wrestle with about anybody. He ends up with the victory as actually an old foe of Dragon Azteca in Black Lotus. Luchadora came out and was able to interfere enough to where the monster Matanza gets the victory. And then she asked Dario about, I guess, her end of it, to which Matanza dropped her as well. So apparently it was a big double cross. Brought us to the main event. The main event was the champion Johnny Mundo, or John Morrison, or Johnny Nitro, or now he's Johnny Impact, as he is in Global Force Wrestling as well, was facing Prince Puma. Prince Puma, also known outside of Lucha Underground as Ricochet. You guys might know him as that. He wrestles under a mask as Prince Puma here. This was a title, Johnny's title, versus Puma's career in Lucha Underground. And actually, Puma won the match. Fantastic match. Just unbelievable. These two very, very much at the top of their game. The problem was, is we all knew this was a two-hour special. They kept advertising it was a two-hour special. And that match ended with 30 minutes to go. What would you do with the last 30 minutes? Could you show a highlight reel? Yeah, you could. You absolutely could. But did you do a highlight reel? Nope. Didn't do a highlight reel. Okay. Well, what else could you do for the remaining? I know. Let's have another match. And it's not a thrown-together match. No. Dario Cueto comes out and says, Prince Puma, great win and everything. Congratulations on being the champion, the only two-time champion in Lucha Underground history, as Prince Puma was the inaugural champion as well three seasons ago. No, Prince Puma, you have another match. Who could he possibly face? How about Pentagon Dark? Pentagon Dark. Get to the God's title. He cashed that in for a match that immediately followed that 30-minute fantastic one between Mundo and Puma. And guess what happens? Well, about a third of the way in, one of the things Pentagon Dark likes to do is break people's arm. He pulled Prince Puma's arm out into a weird, he kind of pulled it out a little bit. Puma was able, with the help of a medical professional at ringside, to pop it back in and finish the match, even though he favored it the rest of the time. But ultimately, your new champion, Pentagon Dark, with the help of Vampiro, who has kind of been a mentor to a lot of the guys in Lucha Underground down there. He is the announcer with Matt Stryker, but he also mentored both of these guys, and he turned on Puma to help Pentagon Dark. So your champion, Pentagon Dark, with the help of Vampiro. Fantastic season. They showed kind of a highlight reel on the way out, and they showed Prince Puma take off his mask. They never showed his face, and leave his mask on the ground in backstage and walk off. That's one of the coolest ways you can go out as far as wrestling goes. But yeah, if you guys aren't watching Lucha Underground, if you have cable, it might be on a on-demand setting. If you have a Dish or such like that, it's probably on the free shows. Go check out Lucha Underground if you're a wrestling fan. It's seriously the best wrestling on TV. Seriously. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate all you guys tuning in. I'm Jeremy the Impact York from Impact Media. Shout out to Atlanta Hawks. Shout out to Tracy Wolf at Tracy Wolf at ATL Hawks. They were a social media shout out tonight. Shout out to the Falcons. Please don't disappoint us on Sunday night. But like I said, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Borchek follows us at 9. Go Falcons.
Wobble, baby, wobble. Girl, wobble it, and I'ma gobble it. I see you moving your head, go ahead, bobble it. We can cradle the bed, I'm straight racking it. The girl say, man, like this, double racket shit. Damn, I'm so explicit, but I can't help it, my flow ridiculous. Boy, got a gift like it gotta be Christmas. Swag on this like it gotta be gifted. The girls broke cameras, and they won't fix it, and they gon' frame them. See that? Let a little bit while I'm saying my scriptures. Cause I leave you holy like you pray in the temple. 1B, I move with the letter of a pencil. And mine won't miss you. Good night, kiss you. Take a damn bag, cause you got pistols. And now I'm saying, Donnie, pick her up, these issues.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
Missed it by that much.